again.
What?
On this teaching, I didn't have it started. Sorry.
So I need to start from the very beginning then?
Yeah, just...
Okay! This title is Spirit Talk, Spirit Walk. Some of it wasn't recorded, so I'm going to do a little bit of a recap right here. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In May 2024, the Lord spoke to me and said that he was going to teach me to recover myself and to recover others. How can you do that? Only by spirit talk and spirit walk. And we had turned to 2 Timothy 2:25, and I want to read it again. We'll start with 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So these people are doing some kind of action that is causing them to become a captive to Satan. And he refers here that gently instruct those that oppose themselves. It's not just the big bad devil showing up and doing something. It's them doing something that gets the devil involved. Oppose means to set oneself opposite. It's a sad thing that the church cannot help the world because it, for the most part, has opposed itself. The church is grounded, been totally ineffective. We're supposed to have it all together so that we can take this message to a lost and dying world. The church is highly skilled in flesh walk and flesh talk. I know, because I was a part of it for a long time, thinking that I was doing what you're supposed to do and finding out that no. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Not the sons of God are led by the flesh. If that were true, we'd all have it made, right? Acts 10:19. And 20. While Peter thought on the vision, he saw the unclean beast on the sheep. Lord told him to rise, Peter, kill and eat. Well, Peter is a Jew, and he was taught from his babyhood that you didn't eat any unclean thing. But the Spirit's saying something else to him today, having to put down his religious dogmas and listen to the Spirit. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. What was he trying to tell him? He said, Don't call what I say is clean unclean. After the sacrifice of Jesus, all things changed. And so they had to learn to let go of their religious dogmas. Even the Jews are carrying on their dead works today in their dead-end temple or whatever it is they're in. I don't know where they worship. I guess they have synagogues. But, I mean, it's just all a bunch of outward things. And they've convinced most of the church world how holy and righteous they are, and we don't touch Israel. They're a fleshly work that God abandoned. One time I had a Jewish guy text me and say, we gonna take that away from us too? And I said, brother, I ain't taking nothing away from you. God took it. Put that in your Torah and smoke it. God left the box. Religious dogma. He ripped that big old curtain. Nobody was allowed to go in except once a year, the high priest. But he rent it from the top to the bottom. Left the box and said, I ain't a coming back. But they're still looking for him over there. They're still doing their thing. And it's not going to amount to a hill of beans. All right, Acts 11, 12. After Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the day of Pentecost came, and these apostolic teams started going and taking the gospel like Jesus commissioned them to do, it said, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. He was a Gentile. They were not supposed to enter into a Gentile's house. Which stood and said unto me, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee word whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as they began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Why, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. What happened to that? That went out the door. Nowadays, there's a bigger gap between Jews and Christians than ever. Flesh walk and flesh talk. It's just a bunch of dogmas that are not going to amount to anything. It's not going to do anything. It may feel good. It may look holy. The robes are so pretty. But there's not any power there. God's not in it. The Jews are going to hell. Did you know that? If they don't receive their Messiah, they're no different than anybody else. They'll be judged the same as everybody that don't know him is not going where he is. Well, they don't accept him anyway. All right. Matthew 12, 28. I want you to see here. Things changed. The Spirit spoke and told them, go here, go there, do this, do that. Jesus said this, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. He never claimed that he did anything. He said, the Father in me is doing the works. How can we be any different? To know what we know and to just independently do things, that is sin. He who knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Following the Spirit. This is kingdom operation. We as the body of Christ cannot move independently of the Holy Spirit. He's the head of the church. That's like you going to work and your boss says, do this, so-and-so, and so-and-so. And you do just the opposite. What would he do? Fire you? How can we not do what the head of the church says? We're not obligated to do anything except what the Spirit says. Not anything. I don't care who puts pressure on us. Our friends think we should do this or whatever. You're not obligated. None of it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Wise mom. All right, keep going here. Imagine a church that actually operates in the kingdom of God instead of just, they might as well be over there with the Israelites doing all their little rituals. That's about as much power there is in it. Zero. They might as well. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. I'm thinking, Lord, we walked in it for so many years. But nobody knew, even the leaders. I don't guess. Or you would have thought they would have taught us. All right, Mark 2:8. Am I making sense? It kind of rattled me when I had to start over. Mm-hmm. All right. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth from them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen it on this fashion. But the leaders were saying, verse 7, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? They're just caught up in their religious things that they do. And because Jesus walked by the Spirit, they criticized him. Came against him. Jesus wasn't religious. Mark 8. I mean, if you read through the Gospels, you just start taking notice. Or it says the Spirit bade him, or whatever, however it's worded. 8, verse 10. And straightway entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha, and the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him, trying to get him to perform without the Spirit. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you that unto you there shall no sign be given unto this generation. They're trying to get him to act independently against the Holy Spirit. Show us a sign. Prove yourself. Show us a sign. There's going to be no sign given to you. And he left. Them kind of people I'd leave to. I'd say, I don't want nothing to do with you. Stay away from me. I've been around you kind my whole life. I'm tired of it. I don't want any more of that. Following the Spirit here. Mark 9, this is 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Well, we already read this in another teaching where they're out there arguing who's the greatest. You know, they're not fasting and praying. They're not doing what they need to be doing to hear from the Lord about it. He answered and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, he straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with his ears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And I'm telling you, if your person is going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to do a lot of praying and some fasting. What is fasting? It's denying yourself. It's denying things that you'd rather be doing. That goes with it. Why? Because you have to hear from the Spirit. He's calling the shots. He is the one that's giving the orders. We have no orders if they're not His. We're not going to just do stuff. We've been in that all our life. What did it do for us? Nothing. Nothing. The church is probably the sickest bunch of people on the earth. They have to go somewhere else to get help. The Gospels are full of this, and the epistles. Mark 14:38. Right here. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. There comes the fasting and praying. You got to treat your flesh like a spoiled kid, because it is. I don't care if you feel like doing that today. This is what we're going to do. Weak here, strengthless. Flesh wants to go back to the old ways. Flesh wants what's comfortable. Yeah. Well, I don't go to church there because I'm not comfortable there. They require something of me. Yeah, we require you to follow the Spirit here. And if you ain't following the Spirit, get on out of here. It ain't going to help us. I ain't going to help us. If somebody comes in here and they're just walking by the flesh, we've already seen that happen. We've already seen that happen. And it was horrible. It was hard. That just come out of me. Now I understand. When you got people around you that you just try and try and try and teach them and teach them and teach them to try to get them to follow the Spirit, and they just don't do it. They just fly by the seat of their pants. It's just a dead end. I don't mean that bad towards anybody, because there's a whole church full of people just like that. They just do what they think is best. Well, you've been screwed up for 40, 50 years. When are you going to decide that maybe I'm doing something, maybe I need to do something different? All right, where did I leave off? Mark 14:38. Weak, strengthless. Luke 1:80. This is talking about Jesus. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. There you go. That's what it's all about. Teaching people to be strong in spirit, not to tickle their flesh with pretty songs and specials. And he was in the deserts to the day of his showing unto Israel. That's John the Baptist he's talking about here. But the same way Jesus. Same way. This is Luke 2:20. Wait a minute. Let me look. Well, I wrote that one down wrong. Maybe it's 3. Bet it is. Anyway, you get my drift. John the Baptist and Jesus both, strong in spirit. You know, after Jesus ended up, you know, they went to the feast and the parents lost him, and he went to the temple and was sitting among the elders. He come home and was subjected to them. Why? He was learning obedience. God was building him in his spirit. That's the kind of training that he had. Okay. I know that's chapter 2. Let's see. Right here.
15.
And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So it was learning to be strong in spirit. That's the kind of training that you learn here, how to be strong in spirit. We've all had this flesh stuff out the kazoo. All right, because it doesn't profit anything. It doesn't help anything. You never get any answers to anything. Okay, Luke 4, 1 and 2. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. I will have to say this of myself. The day that or the night that I entered into my temptation in the wilderness, the Holy Spirit spoke to me directly and told me what to do, because I didn't know what to do. It was a scary situation. He told me exactly what to do. And I'd have to say, through this 16 months now later, that really, when I needed it, he would show me what to do. What is this training or this wilderness experience, what has it been about? To come out strong in the Spirit. To come out strong in the Spirit. Jesus had learned obedience by the things he suffered. If Jesus had to learn it that way, so do we. The Holy Spirit has reassured us, you're in no harm. This is trying to teach you to walk independently of your flesh. So when he calls on us to do something, that doesn't get in the way. That's not an obstacle. We're not calling in, making excuses. Well, I just can't come today because I didn't get any sleep, or I didn't this, or I didn't that. You just hook them up and you say, I don't care, I'm a-going. Because you're strong in spirit. Isn't the spirit of the man that sustains him on a sick bed? The spirit, not meds. Not chicken soup. The spirit of a man. Strong in spirit. That's just what this is all about. We've been strong in our flesh our whole life. The Christian walk is not a flesh and blood walk. It is a spirit walk. And you're not going to be able to do it if you're not strong in your spirit. You're not going to be able to follow the Spirit if you're not strong in spirit. If the Son of God had to do it that way, John the Baptist had to do it that way, we have to do it that way. All right, this is Luke 4, 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. See, he went through his testing in the wilderness. And the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested. Oh, well, God will never let anything bad happen to his people. Ever heard that? He will allow you to be tested. He allowed his Son to be tested. And I would figure that, especially the church world, that their God uses medicine, right? So anytime they have anything that comes on them, they run to the doctor. I'm thinking, How does that work out? I tried to tell somebody one time because they had a chronic problem. I said, have you ever thought that maybe it might be your thorn? All these trips to the doctor all the time for decades? Well, I have thought about it. How do you deal with the thorn? Grace. Not meds. I think that's a problem, especially when you see Christian people that they do have some spirituality and they just remain sick all the time. I just want to say to them, I think you got a thorn. You know, if you ever have a way where you can talk into their life, speak to them the truth, that I'm getting offended. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Why? Because he's showing signs. Verse 18 here. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. By the Spirit. No other way. By the Spirit. Luke 9. Are y'all getting it today? Luke 9:37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thy own house and show how great things God had done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Jesus did that by the Spirit. You know, whenever someone sees God, an obvious act of God, that's what brings people in. They see the real deal. That's where what happened to Jesus everywhere he went. Crowds followed him. He had multitudes. Because he had the real deal. He followed the Spirit. Fed the multitudes, walked on the water, multiplied the food, healed the sick and raised the dead. All right. You cannot defeat the devil in the flesh. God wants to impart, especially to his apostles, the Spirit without measure. But every believer can also cast out devils and heal the sick, right? So every believer ought to be expecting God to be able to speak to them at any time as they go about their business and they go about their day. Do this. It's just learning to follow the Spirit, plain and simple. Acts 8. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I skipped one. This is John 4:24. And this is important. John 4:24. Did I read that? No, I didn't. John 4:24. God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So just all this old fleshly worship that everybody does? Mm-mm. Anybody can sit and just make up a list and get out there and sing it. Everything we do needs to be by the Spirit. We got to be willing to say, somebody says, well, you don't have nothing this morning. Spirit didn't give me nothing. If I stand up here one day and say, Lord didn't give me nothing. To just do something. Work of the flesh. Okay, Acts 8 now. 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? See, it was a eunuch. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, passing through. He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. When you become available to the Holy Spirit, any time, any place, he might translate you. Evidently, Philip just listened to the Spirit, and wherever he went, the Holy Spirit, he just took care of the master's business. Said, well, I need y'all now over here. You make yourself available. This isn't rocket science. Spiritual people ought to be following the Spirit, right? Couldn't say it any more simpler than that. Acts 9:11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him and that he might receive him. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he's done to thy saints at Jerusalem. In other words, no way. Here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Ananias going, no way am I going there. No, he's that guy throwing everybody in prison. Why would I go there? I don't want to go there, Lord. Don't make me go. Ever been there? I have. The Lord made me sit through all the boring stuff before he even tell me why I was even there. So you learn. Don't question what he says, do. He tells you to do something, just go do it when you know it's the Lord. Now, I'm not saying if some voice tells you to do something. I'm telling you if the Holy Spirit's prompting you to do something. He usually is kind enough to give you instructions with it. Okay, let's keep going here. This is not rocket science. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8. That's what that whole chapter is about. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It's about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Okay, let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 2. Paul talking here. Start with verse 1 there. And I, brethren, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Wouldn't that be something if that's what we expected at church? Not in the wise words that the preacher said, but in the power of God. Yeah, that's the way it should be. All right, 10 through 16. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. We cannot know God except by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not, ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he hath taken the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Rather, Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. It's just by the Spirit. It's not a temple made with hands, with fleshly worship. 1 Corinthians 5. God's government brings divine order in the church by the Spirit, right here. Verse 1 of chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. Verily, as absent in body, but absent in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are leavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. In other words, they're allowing this junk to go on. It's got to be judged by the Spirit, and it was right here. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not the rules and regulations, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God's government is to be in divine order. Our church meetings are by the Spirit, not just we just have a little nice little meeting. We had a comedian this morning, and he made everybody laugh. Or you have a clap fest. Ugh. I have been in them. The last one we were in, it was so bad. I could hardly stand it. I don't know how I didn't keep from running out of the place. I wished I had. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. Paul's addressing now concerning spiritual gifts. They're spiritual gifts, duh! This is what they operate in the church. Spiritual gifts. The church is spiritual. I thought, how about that? Spiritual gifts. a spiritual church has spiritual gifts. What do the churches do that don't believe in the Holy Spirit? In the just stuff. That's what they do. Just stuff. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself. Psalms, hymns, spiritual song. I don't get it. Every believer is to operate in divine order. That is being led by the Spirit. You can't get more divine than that. Okay, Galatians 5. I mean, I'm telling you, it's all through the epistles. What is chapter 5 about? I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's about not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. That's what Galatians is all about. Right here. Verse 17. Well, it's, just start with 16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Duh. For this flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's the way it's supposed to be. Ephesians. Chapter 2. And you have the quickened, verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is spiritual. Spiritual. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's spiritual. The spiritual birth. Being born again is a spirit birth. Okay. Y'all need to go and read here. Ephesians 3, 4, 5, 6. The whole book. It's all about that. I'm not going to today. I've already... just not today. Philippians 1, 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We don't need to go to the Bible bookstore to get supplies, do we? No, the supply of the Spirit is all we need. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. One more, Hebrews chapter 4. Sure would shut down a lot of operations, you know, if I went in there and started talking to them like this, wouldn't it? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I tell you what, if Jesus is riding on his horse today, like Brother Hagin's lady friend saw the prophet there surveying the troops, I hope he would say, well done. You operate by the Spirit, not by the flesh. I cannot find anywhere in the Word of God that a believer is to operate at any time in just the flesh. The Holy Spirit has a plan for the whole man. Now, I realize he may tell you to do something that you have to use your flesh to do it, but the point is, we hear him say, do it, and then we do it.